Good morning again.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Sure.
At any rate, what I thought I might talk about today, because of this delightful hot weather we're having, is the Rosés de Provence. Now, Provence is, of course, a beautiful, beautiful part of France, and it's a big geographical area. And they produce about over three-quarters of the rosé produced in France is produced in Provence. And in Provence, 80% of the production of wine is rosé. It isn't 100% because they make some wonderful red and white wines in that area. But indeed, the rosé is, and you know, it's been looked on for years as a cheap, cheerful beverage. But today, what a change. It's done a complete image transformal. And today, all the major producers of luxury products want a rosé of Provence in their portfolios. That's for sure. The area has a very noble history. It was the closest province to Rome in France. And when the Romans marched through Gaul, which is France, Provence became the area. And then even before that, the Greeks, when they populated the French city of Marseille, had vineyards there. And the wines from that area were highly respected even then. So they've got a record of producing wines there for almost 3,000 years. It's just completely incredible. And it has a wonderful Mediterranean climate. There's a thing there called the Mistral. A Mistral is a wind, and it can be a heavy wind, but it's a wind that goes on all the time in that throughout Provence. And what it does is it dries and cools, and it prevents infection in grapes. So the area has always been a big producer of grapes and a big producer of wine, and it's abetted and aided by those Mistral winds. And anyhow, talking about the luxury turnaround in this area is just absolutely incredible. And the consumption worldwide was basically due to Provence. When we talk about rosés and everything, there's a property called Whispering Angel, which was started by my good friend Alexis Lachine's son, Sasha. And I remember about 15, 16 years ago meeting him in Bordeaux at a lunch, and he said, Jack, I am going to introduce a $100 rosé. And I said, well, lots of good luck, Sasha. I don't know where you're going to sell any wine like that. He said, I'm going to do it. Well, lo and behold, in spite of my rather negative reaction to what he told me and his enthusiasm, he did just that. And last year, he sold only 5% of his share of Whispering Angel to the big, huge conglomerate, luxury conglomerate, I might add, of Louis Vuitton for over $5 million. So who's laughing now? Good way to go, Sasha. It's terrific. Louis Vuitton owns Veuve Clicquot, Dom Perignon, Hennessy Cognac, Cheval Blanc, and the world-famous Chateau Yquem, in addition to, of course, Louis Vuitton and all those luxury products. And they just, that same conglomerate, just bought Tiffany Jewelers in the United States. So they kind of know what they're doing, and they, too, are in getting into Provence wines. And, of course, they're not alone. There's a whole bunch of celebrities have gotten into Provence wines, starting with Brad Pitt and his wife owned a big estate in Provence, and they sold a rosé there that was, again, very expensive. And they've been joined by George Lucas from California, and as well as George Clooney and his wife. And so they buy these properties there, and they immediately improve them, and they certainly improve the winemaking. And what happens, they lease these at very, very expensive prices. So the wine prices in Provence have doubled over the last 10 years. And they're still very affordable. It's, you don't have to spend $100 on a rosé. You can buy some very good ones for around $10 to $15 from Provence. And our per capita consumption of rosé in this country has a long way to go. I mean, we're right at the moment, we're at under 2 liters per person. And, you know, when you look at France, where they drink, I think it's 37 liters, and Italy's almost 60 liters, we have a way to go to catch on. But the Provence of rosé of Provence really are remarkable. The consumer enjoys a hint of the way of life there. I love Provence wines, and I've been going there for now almost 50 years. And wherever you taste a Provence rosé, in my opinion, you're mindful of the way of life. And the way of life there in that Provence area is just fantastic. Even since Victorian times, the British call that their second home there. Everywhere you go, you see expatriate British, etc., having places in Saint-Tropez and Nice and outside of Marseille, or just in some small little village no one ever heard of. And I think that's evidenced by people like Pitt and Clooney buying these places over there. They want to buy into that wonderful lifestyle in Provence, where you watch the minstrel blow over fields of lavender. And that sight unto itself, that purple lavender waving like our wheat fields in this Midwest, only it's purple, and it is just beautiful. And the rolling hills, the food is very good. The spices, lavender, thyme, and rosemary are everywhere. They grow wild. In fact, they're regarded almost as weeds there. However, they use it that in all their cooking. Garlic is a big thing in the cooking there. And some people might be familiar with aioli. Aioli is a garlic-based mayonnaise. It was actually invented there. And their most famous dish of Provence is bouillabaisse, which is a fish soup or a fish stew. And it's just wonderful. And you want to try that fish stew at its very best, have it with a glass of Côte de Provence. And like I say, you don't have to buy Chateau Lescance $100 one, or even buying Whispering Angel, which is about $20-some a bottle. There are others that are just as good. But the prices have gone up, but they were very affordable. They were almost embarrassingly cheap 20 years ago. And today, they're just about the same price as other wines. But these Provence wines are benefiting from all this money pouring in there and the technology that comes with it. I remember Sacha Lachine was the first one to put a rosé in wood. And he didn't put it in a small barrel. There's big barrels hold about 1,000 gallons of wooden barrel. And not for long, but just enough to give the wine a little oomph and maturity that it benefits from being close to that oak for those 6 months. And it really is terrific. The yields have gone up, which make it easier. And they've allowed plantings to go up in the area, too. First time in years and years and years. The availability of rosé today is just incredible. You can find it everywhere. And rosés de Provence are always available. They're not terribly expensive. And they really are a very demonstrably, in my opinion, good wine to have on a hot day. And like I say, it always makes me mindful of that beautiful part of the world called Provence. The grape type there is principally the Carignan and especially Mourvèdre. Mourvèdre is a grape that's very popular in the Rhone Valley, but here they make rosé out of it, and it really is delicious. They're bringing in Cabernet Sauvignon and Syrah to give the wines a little more color and a little more oomph, and they have gotten remarkably better. They're still lovely wines to have at any time, in my opinion. They're great aperitif wine. You're mulling over a hot afternoon on your patio, have a nice cold glass of Provence rosé, and you'll know God is in heaven and all's right with the world. It really is a wine area that you shouldn't overlook. And like I say, rosés aren't just for ladies' tea parties anymore. As I said here, they're getting better. They're making them bolder. And if you're a red wine drinker, and you say, I couldn't drink rosé because I'd like red wine, I beg you to try Tavel from the Rhone Valley. That is a red wine drinker's rosé, and it is absolutely delicious. And it's a very wonderful wine, but the Provence wines, I'm digressing, Tavel is very close, incidentally, to Provence. But the Provence wines are the ones we're talking about here today. They really are remarkable. They're getting better and better all the time. And in my opinion, on a hot Minnesota summer day, well, it isn't quite summer yet, I guess, but on a hot Minnesota day, you can try these wines and you'll find them absolutely thirst-quenching, delicious, and they'll make you mindful of what there is enjoyable about heat like this.
Absolutely, and there are many, many choices, and you can find them all at Haskell's for sure.
Indeed, the folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. They love to pair wine with food, whether you're having bouillabaisse or just a tuna sandwich. They'll fix you up with a bottle of wine that'll go perfectly with that, and best of all, they'll help you pick a wine that doesn't cost very much. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. There's a Haskell's in Bloomington, Excelsior, Haskell's in Faribault right off of 35, and Maple Grove, our super cellar, is not to be missed, 22,000 square feet of wines. In Minneapolis, we're open on Saturday and Sunday and have free parking. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's, Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com, and don't forget, we do deliver. And incidentally, we have that fabulous barbecue, 6 for $60, 6 bottles of wine for your barbecue. This hot weather's going to stay with us for the next foreseeable future, I'm told. And that 6 for $60, 6 bottles of wine, $60, and they're all great for barbecue.
And how long is that in effect, John? It's just a
That'll
great
be
idea,
in effect
Jack.
For the next 2 weeks.
That's fantastic.
Barbecue 6 for $60.
That is just excellent idea. All right, Jack, stay cool, and let's do this again next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
Thanks very much.